Every week, we close out the podcast by thanking the community radio stations that play our podcast and are great partners with us. Today, we're going to talk to some people involved with community media and find out about their work. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports, and I'm excited to introduce you to my guest today. Ryan Van Landit is the executive director of Rice Lake Community Media. Mary Cardona is the executive director of Wisconsin Community Media. And Jeff Robbins is the director of Sun Prairie Media Center. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to thank you all for coming. And let's start with you, Mary. Can you explain what community media is?
Absolutely. Community media is electronic media that is focused on the community, that's accessible, and that's funded locally. So Wisconsin Community Media, for most of its life, we've been around since 1997, we've focused on community television stations that appear on cable television systems. So those channels are called public, education, and government access television channels. But there's also low-power FM radio, and in recent years, we've started focusing on that as well, because what we're really interested in is promoting community talk, community issues, community events, and we want people to participate in this media. So our centers are based in communities. People have the opportunity to learn how to produce television and radio programming, and they can steer the programming on these local community media stations to issues that concern them. They're also funded locally, so that means that, for example, in the case of cable television, these public education and government access channels are funded by the franchise fees that go to cities from cable operators. So most of them are managed by either cities, or some are managed by nonprofit organizations, and some are managed by school districts.
So are these the stations where I would log in to see my local city council meetings and get that kind of information with what my local government is doing?
Exactly. Government transparency is one of our key goals. And so, yes, I would say most cities, and there are a lot of them in the state who have PEG channels. I mean, most cities have these channels. Not all of them use them fully, but the ones that don't use them as much, one of their prime reasons for using these channels are to bring local government meetings to residents. So planning commission, city council meetings, school board meetings, absolutely.
Excellent. Yes. Can you give us a general idea of how many TV stations there are and how many radio stations there are?
Well, Wisconsin Community Media primarily serves community media centers whose focus are these local cable access television stations. So we have 51 members, and I would guess there's probably at least two dozen other cities who are using their channels to some extent, maybe not as much as our members. Our members also have low-power FM radio stations. At least some of them do. About a half a dozen have low-power FM radio stations. But I think statewide, there's probably maybe 40 low-power FM radio stations in the state. So, again, our focus since 1997 has been these PEG stations, they're called. And when we started getting into low-power FM radio, because it was just another way to reach our communities, we started getting into that as well. So there's a whole low-power FM radio community out there that we have not been. Maybe Ryan and Jeff are more in touch with some of those other standalone low-power FM radio stations. But Wisconsin Community Media is primarily interested in the media centers that started out as PEG access channels.
Yeah, and Gwen, Mary keeps using the term PEG, which stands for Public Education and Government. We always kind of have each of those somewhat utilized in our stations. Both the public aspect, we have, you know, public programming where it's parades or events or things that are citywide, concerts. Education, we do school events, school board meetings, and then government events, of course, the meetings that people, for some reason, are intrigued to watch. And then we also, you know, nicely do shows to wrap up an hour and a half meeting, so people only have to stand a half hour of government discussion.
Yeah. The public aspect of the acronym PEG, I mean, that includes community members that come in and do programming. That we have several of those in Sun Prairie that come in and talk about whatever they're passionate about, whether it's movies or whether it's local government. So, yeah, that's part of it as well.
So when most people think about TV access nowadays, they think something is running 24/7. Are most of the community stations running programming 24/7?
Absolutely.
Yep, for sure. Yes. Radio and TV run 24/7.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about community media, and we're going to talk about why it's important.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common-sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
Welcome back to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm joined today by Ryan Van Landit, the Executive Director of Rice Lake Community Media, Jeff Robbins, the Director of Sun Prairie Media Center, and Mary Cardona, the Executive Director of Wisconsin Community Media. So we've gotten a general overview, but can you explain how community media evolved? Where did it start from and where is it going to?
Well, public access television actually started in the 60s and 70s and especially took off in the 1970s when the Federal Communications Commission decided that cable operators should be required to set aside channels for the use of the community. And so since then, in Wisconsin, small communities may have one channel, larger communities may have three or four. And the whole idea is, and the whole goal of the FCC in doing this, was to encourage local programming. Because if you think back to that time, really what we had were the three broadcast networks. And all the programming was very national. What they did was they also encouraged local broadcast affiliates to have television programming. So like you have the local affiliate in Milwaukee or whatever. And so those stations were required to also provide local programming. The same with radio stations. They were required to provide local news. So the focus of the FCC has always been to keep localism in mind, to serve the public interest. And these channels were seen as a way to promote the public interest and promote localism by having these cable systems with many channels to set aside some channels for the use of local communities.
So, Jeff, in Sun Prairie, I grew up in Sun Prairie, and my sister was a part of Kids 4.
Is that
something that is still part of community media in Sun Prairie? Is that something that you guys do, is bring in young people?
Oh, for sure. We've been doing Kids 4 for about 40 years now, since the 70s. And yeah, every year we bring in about 62 kids, and they meet in what is called crews. They meet once a week with about 7 or 8, you know, kids in their same age range. We let them have full reins of the TV studio. I mean, they do the lighting, they do the sound, they do the camera work, they write the scripts, they produce the shows. I mean, obviously we have staff supervising them, but we try to get their creativity to be as unfiltered as possible. So, we really let them have it, and we have a second channel in Sun Prairie that is dedicated solely for Kids 4 programming. And the other aspect of that is we try to get kids involved in their communities, so we check out equipment to them so they can go record a concert or a play or something happening, or a parade or something happening in the community, and we hope that that gets them, you know, more interested in what's going on in their community.
Ryan, so Rice Lake Community Media, I mean, yes. You guys are up north and you're so close to Minnesota that I suspect a lot of people get their information from Minnesota sources. So you guys really must fill a need in your area of reminding people they don't live in Minnesota.
Absolutely. Our CBS affiliate is in Minnesota.
What's wrong with Minnesota?
You know, we're in a spot where it's, you know, an hour away from Eau Claire and more than an hour away from the Twin Ports. So we are kind of our own kind of news source where, you know, local news is important to us and other news is, you know, not that relevant. So we do a lot of different methods of distribution. We have, you know, our television channel, our radio station, but we do, you know, online video streaming. So, which is great in the winter when, you know, grandparents go away for the winter and they can see their grandkids in school things or, see what's going on in school or government.
Yeah, that's an important, point that Ryan brings up because, like in Sun Prairie, for example, you know, not only are we on Charter, but we're on TDS and we stream and we have a Roku channel and we have an Apple TV app. So we're really working, you know, on our distribution methods to get the content out to as many people as possible and in as many ways as possible.
So do you find on weeks like this where we have huge snowstorms and everything's shut down because the weather is so cold that people still have the opportunity because of the varying methods that you use to still be in contact with what's going on?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we, like for now, if you turn on our channel right now, we're running crawls about, you know, the weather information and school closings and city closings and things like that. So definitely people can still access us. We're on 24/7 and yeah, that's, we're not shut down by weather like we're having today.
Well, and in fact, it's a wonderful resource for the city because during emergencies, these channels really play a very big role in getting information out to residents. For example, in Sun Prairie, they recently had that gas explosion disaster.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, we really worked overtime to get as much information out to the public as we could during that time. When that happened on that night, myself and somebody else came into the radio studio that night. Basically, we're getting information as it was coming in, telling people to stay out of the area. We were able to pick up some press conferences from the local police department and the fire department and air those live. And then in the days and weeks that followed, you know, we were at various fundraisers, covering those live, covering various press conferences, just really working to get as much information out to the public as we could.
So, Ryan, let's start with you. If you talk about the community radio, how many people are employed through community media and do the different services that you have versus how many people are volunteers and come in and work because they want to be a part of their community?
You are looking at the one person employed. Right. And yeah, we do have a lot of volunteers. We have an internship program through the university in town. And we, you know, Tuesday night, because it was so cold, we had a basketball game that was canceled. But the two gentlemen that help out with that have been doing it for 16 years now. This is their 16th season. And we have a lot of volunteers like that who have been doing this for a long time. They're very passionate about it. And people know them from the channel. They'll come up to them and say, hey, good game on Friday or whenever that was.
So they're providing color for the local basketball games?
Absolutely, yep. And football games and everything else. Yeah, it's really fun. And, you know, it really brings the community together. About 2 years ago, our football team went to state and won state. And, you know, we were there all the way through it. And it was really fun for everyone.
I believe it. How about you, Jeff, in Sun Prairie? How many people do you have who are employees versus how many people are volunteers?
Including myself, we have 4 full-time staff, and then we have 1 part-time person, and we have some high school kids that come in and help with kids 4 after school. And last year, we recently transitioned from a volunteer-based organization to a member-based organization. So people are now paying very minor membership fees to be part of the media center. And I thought you might ask that question, so I counted before I came in, and we have 302 members.
Oh, wow.
So that includes volunteer producers or just people that support the media center and want to be, you know, friends of the media center, or Kids for Families.
Mary, is this something that's unique to Wisconsin, or are these things that are found throughout the United States?
Oh, it's actually found internationally.
Okay.
Which is really exciting. But no, it's community television is extremely popular in most states across the country. There's an organization called the Alliance for Community Media that has been in existence for since the 1980s, that has promoted community media and is still going strong today. No, it's very popular. And I think the idea here, the reason I think it's so popular is because people want to be part of their communities and contribute to their communities. And it's really exciting to be able to walk into a brick-and-mortar center and learn how to produce a program about an issue that's dear to your heart and to reach out to the people who matter to you in your community and to meet all these other people who come in through those doors and who are doing programs on issues that matter to them. We have programs for the Spanish-speaking community, the Hmong community, the arts community, women's rights, you know, everything. And it's a real cross-section of the community, and it's a real blend. And so we like to say that strong media centers build strong communities because, you know, when you tune into our channel, you're seeing your community, it helps bind a community together and establishes a community identity. And because of all those things, I mean, I learned about community television when I was about 21 years old, right when I graduated from UW-Madison, and I was a political science major. And when I found out about it, it was just like love at first sight. And I've been doing some aspect of it ever since. And most people I know in this field have similar stories. They kind of found out about it, got involved, and could not leave it because they fell in love. It's just such a wonderful way to contribute.
So, Ryan, you were one of the first community media centers that reached out to us and said, hey, let's work together and let's make your podcast something that we can use. Why did you think what we do here on a weekly basis fit in the mission of what you guys are doing?
Gwen, I'm not going to lie. I'm a one-man show, so other people doing my work for me is helpful.
Quality programming without you having to do it yourself.
Yes. I would say about a year before that, I contacted Jerry DeShane of the League of Municipalities, and I said, hey, let's do a show sometime. And then Gail Sumi and I talked, and we came up with a monthly show. The show is called The Local Perspective. And, you know, we do it monthly. It's kind of neat because Jerry is already traveling throughout the state. So we have different member stations of WCM recording the show and learning different things in different aspects of local government. And I thought this really fit with our mission of government transparency. You know, I do things with my county government as well. We do county board meetings, and after everyone, we do a show with the county administrator and kind of wrap up what's happening in the county. You know, if there's things that we need to help them communicate to the public, we do that. And I just thought that what this show is very important and people need to know about it and learn more.
Something that we talk about all the time is program sharing, and this is a perfect example of program sharing, something that, you know, one center or one organization produces that can be used in many different media centers.
So you program share with other communities, you share with other states. How does that work?
Typically other communities in Wisconsin. I mean, we do a lot of programming that is really of interest only to people that live in Sun Prairie, like maybe the city meetings like Ryan was talking about. But we do a lot of other shows that could be of interest to anybody in the state, from movie review programs or public affairs shows that some of our volunteers do that focus more on state issues. So, yeah, that is something that we're constantly working on with other stations is sharing programs, sharing resources, and just, you know, trying to get as much quality programming out there out to as many people as we can.
All right. Well, stay tuned. There's more to come.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
You're listening to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today's guests are Mary Cardona, the Executive Director of Wisconsin Community Media, Jeff Robbins, the director of Sun Prairie Media Center, and Ryan Van Landet, the executive director of Rice Lake Community Media. Now, you guys have explained how community media came about, what you've been doing. Why do you think it's important? What's your mission? And Ryan, I'm going to start with you because one of the things that you pointed out to me when we talked was that you bring on legislators to talk to their communities.
Absolutely. I think, you know, even in the city of Madison. I don't know that anyone sits down one-on-one with your legislative representatives, and they're right around the corner. But, you know, we bring our state assembly rep and state senator in once a month. They come in unless there's, you know, either something going on that postpones their visit, or there's nothing going on to where there's really nothing to have a show about, which does happen sometimes. But, you know, between those debates every 2 years or 4 years, there's not a whole lot of coverage for people to look into to see what is their legislator doing for them, how are they voting, what issues are happening. You know, in a half-hour news cycle on our local news, there's not too much coverage about what happens in Madison that really affects the residents of Rice Lake. So we do bring them in. You know, we have a great relationship. We let them speak about whatever they think is important, what they're hearing about, what citizens are concerned with, and we cover those topics and we explore those issues.
So, Jeff, your community is one that probably has several different legislators that are on your borders or within your area. Do you bring in multiple legislators to talk to different kinds of communities, or do you bring in your legislators? Do they come out and talk?
Well, I think that we really focus on our city council. Like, we do a show called Council Playback on our radio station. So if somebody doesn't want to, and I don't know why you wouldn't want to, sit through maybe a 4-hour council meeting, you know, we bring in, either the mayor or, you know, the council members are on a rotation, and they come in and they kind of give you the Cliff Notes version of what's really happening, or even better, what's coming up. So if there's an issue that's going to come before the council that maybe you have a personal interest in, you can make sure to attend that council meeting, or at the very least watch it on our local cable channel. But I think the main reason I think that community media is important is because informed citizens are active citizens. And we have a lot of citizens, not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but have become much more involved in their community through their association with the Media Center, to the point that now when there is a city event like a fire truck parade and tree lighting that we had in November, or the Groundhog Day celebration that's happening this month, not only are we involved in it, but our member producers are the MCs for that event. So they're actually the ones that are hosting the event in the community. So we're really working closely with the city to pull off some of these events.
All right. Well, you brought it up. So is Jimmy going to see his shadow this weekend?
I am not privy to that information. That is top secret information, but we'll see. He's never wrong. So whatever he says will be right.
He has a better track record than Punxsutawney Phil, I believe.
As long as he doesn't bite anybody.
Right. So, Mary, if you're living in a community and you want to know whether there's a community television station or a community radio station, where do you go to find that information?
You go to our website. So our website is https://wisconsincommunitymedia.com.
Wisconsin spelled out?
Correct.
Okay.
And there's no www in there.
Okay.
So it's a little tricky. We have an, I can't remember what it's called in there, if it's resources or members, but.
You can find your local station.
Yeah. There's a little, navigation thing. I think it says, members. And on that page are all of our members, and you can click on their icons, their logos, and see, you know, where they're at, and you can go right to their website and see what their programming is and all that. So each media center really operates very differently. So some are like Ryan, you know, it's a one-man band kind of thing. Some are like, you know, Jeff's, that really bring in a lot of community members in. Some are solely government. So when you go to that page and you click on that logo, you'll find out what your local media center is all about.
Perfect. Well, I have spent the whole show asking you guys questions, so I want to give you guys the opportunity, if there are any final thoughts that you wanted to share with our listeners about community media.
I would just say it's a wonderful way to get involved in your community. You know, a lot of people may not be serving on boards or being involved in a nonprofit organization, but somehow they want to be involved in the community more. Media centers are a great way to do that. And media centers are always looking for volunteers. They will train you in how to run a camera or an audio board or help write a script or produce a show. There's so many opportunities for so many people that I would really encourage people just to knock on the door and Get involved.
Any final thoughts for you, Ryan?
Boy, just watch and learn, I guess, from what we produce. You know, I think Jeff has nailed it. Government transparency and information and being well-informed citizens is really an important thing for the community. And, you know, I think that is a great thing that we're doing. And I hope that everyone's appreciative of that and at least figure something out beforehand rather than gets upset about something afterwards.
Yes. How about you, Jeff? Any final thoughts?
You know, as I was reading the New York Times recently, they had an article about community media, and the headline was Tiny Voices Become a Collective Shout. And that's really what we want to do, is we want to gather those tiny voices and give people the freedom to become that collective shout in their community.
Perfect. Well, that's the end of today's podcast. Thank you, all three of you, for coming. This has been great. I've learned more than I knew before, which I will admit was very little. It's been great working with you guys. I appreciate the fact that all of the community media is carrying Local Gov Matters, and we are working to get that on more community stations. For additional information and for links to the websites and some of the stories that we've talked about, make sure you go to www.thewheelerreport.com and check out the podcast details. And make sure to catch us on community radio. We are on Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, and Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM. Thank you to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Wisconsin Counties Association for working with me on this podcast, and thank you to Jackie Johnson for doing all of our sound editing.